الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله قال الله تعالى وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين وقال تعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected ulama, elders and brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our master, our cherisher, our nourisher, our provider, our sustainer. And we send the choicest of salutations, salawat and salam, upon rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy unto the worlds, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us all recite durood sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us and informs us in the Quran Majeed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent by him to us as rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he addresses himself or he informs us that he is Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we address him as Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all of the worlds. So we find here that the Lord of the worlds has sent to us the mercy unto all of the worlds. Rahmatul lil alameen. Now, what does it mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent as a mercy unto all of the worlds, a mercy unto mankind? It means that it encompasses all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mankind, jinnkind, the animals, the plants, all the different worlds and universes that we may not even be aware of. But if we have to focus particularly on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being sent to us as human beings, then to truly understand this concept of being a mercy, we need to understand the environment in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent into. Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, who was from amongst our akabir of the previous century and one of the most senior scholars both in the Indian subcontinent, in the non-Arab world and the Arab world. He commanded a lot of respect both in the academic circles in the non-Arab world as well as respect from amongst the scholars in the Arab world. Because he had mastered the sciences of Islam, Sharia, but in addition to that, he was very well read, very well traveled, a very intelligent person, and he had also become an expert in the fields of history, geography, etc. And he mentions that historians have narrated that approximately in the 6th century when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to this world, the 6th century according to the Gregorian calendar, That was one of the darkest moments in the history of humankind. Many times when we study the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we discuss the period of Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance, and generally this is from the maktab level, we focus on the environment around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was particularly Makkatul Mukarrama and maybe a little bit of Arabia. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not sent exclusively into the dark ages of Arabia. He was not sent exclusively into the darkness of Makkatul Mukarrama. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a mercy and a light unto all the worlds. So if we look back into history and we study the condition of the world at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to us, then we will understand the greatness of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he was able to achieve during a very short period of time, and how humanity was brought out from the depths of darkness morally, socially, economically, in terms of religion. Every facet of human life by and large was steeped in darkness. And in a very short period of time, one of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he was able to extract humanity and to make them from amongst the best of people. So if we study firstly the religious situation at the time, from amongst the major religions over history, the objective of these religions was to bring iman, to bring the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good character, good morals, to bring all of this into humanity. But by the time the 6th century had arrived, none of the religions, the great religions of the time, remained in their true form. If we look at Christianity, Christianity had been overtaken by the priests and the monks, and the church controlled the wealth and the knowledge of people. People were oppressed. Their wealth was taken for the church. The scriptures were altered. And we find that even the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was the mission of Isa alayhi salam, that too had been distorted, and Christianity was embodying polytheism. The doctrine of Trinity had become part of the fabric of Christianity. And then if we look at Judaism, at that time, nothing remained of Judaism except some dead rituals and relics. In fact, they too had altered their scriptures. They had hidden certain things from their people. They had changed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had made their religion exclusively for their nation. Historians write that it was a form of racial snobbery, where Judaism was exclusive to a certain group of people. It was not a message for mankind. And then not far from Arabia, you had the Persians. They were Zoroastrians, primarily fire worshippers, worshippers of the sun. And again, the moral fabric of that society was completely destroyed. Between India and Central Asia, you had Buddhism. Again, full of idolatry. In India itself, there was reported at that time more than 33 million gods that were associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that were worshipped. So this was the religious context. The people of Arabia, the people in Makkatul Mukarrama, they used to follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But over time, they too introduced idolatry. At the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, there were approximately 360 idols inside the Kaaba and around the Kaaba. Ironically, this house, which was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam to promote the worship of one God. And then if we look at the social and the economic situation, and respected brothers and elders, why do we study this? Why are we discussing this? we need to take some inferences and extract it to the current times. How close are we to the darkness that was seen at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And what is the solution to bring ourselves out of this darkness? Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed him brought humanity out of darkness in the 6th century. So if we look at the nations that surrounded or that were the superpowers of the time, you had the Byzantine Empire, and this empire was categorized with very heavy taxes. People were taxed for every little thing, and they were oppressed. There were revolts, there was public discontent. The nobles, the wealthy class, they would spend their time in lavish pursuits, merriment, entertainment. Whereas on the other side, the peasant class, the poor class, they had absolutely nothing. It was a time of entertainment. In fact, the Byzantine Empire, they had something called the Hippodrome. If you visit Istanbul today, Constantinople of that time, then near to the Sultan Ahmed Masjid, there's a plaque there that demarcates an area that was known as the Hippodrome. The Hippodrome, to bring it into today's context, was an entertainment arena, like a sports field. The capacity of the Hippodrome in the Byzantine Empire was approximately 80,000 people. And there were different types of sports and merriment. Many of those sports were very bloody. They were very gruesome. This was the society at that time. And then you had the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire had a lot of pomp, a lot of glory, a lot of magnificence. All of the wealth of the people was owned by the emperor. In fact, going back to the Byzantine Empire, Syria and Egypt, as we know it today, were part of the Byzantine Empire. And the taxes in Syria at the time were so oppressive that people would have to sell their children in order to give the government its due. This was the level of oppression. And then if we look at India, where many of us hail from, at that period of time, although historically India was known for its advances in technology, in mathematics, in philosophy, but the social, the economic, and the moral degradation of India had already begun. And at that time, India was split into many different warring states, each one of them trying to vie with one another for supremacy. Women had absolutely no rights. In fact, women were such that sometimes a man would lose his wife to a gambling debt. A person would gamble, he would lose. What does he have to pay? He uses his wife, he pays the gambling debt with his wife. The caste system was rife in India at that time, where you had the untouchable class who couldn't live in certain areas. They couldn't eat from the same utensil. They could not even touch a person of a higher class. This was the situation in India. And then, as many of us know, the situation in Arabia at the time was such that wine, alcohol, gambling, that was the order of the day. Morals, values, this was all, the community was void of all of this. People would fight and war with one another. Tribes would have feuds for decades and decades over petty issues. The hearts of those individuals were so hard that they found it in themselves the ability to bury their daughters alive. And we cannot even speak about Europe. Europe was a non-entity. It was so barbaric at that time that history does not even record much about what was happening in Europe at that time. So in and amongst this entire global, geopolitical, geographic, social, moral, economic situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's very important for us to understand, to picture, what was the condition at that time? Not just in Makkatul Mukarramah, not just in Arabia, but throughout the world. As we mentioned in the beginning, historians have written that humanity was in its darkest stages, morally, socially, politically, economically. Hardly could you find a corner of the earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was worshipped as one and alone. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to us in this environment. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that verily, in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you have an excellent example. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu mentions that كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from amongst the best of people. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ. He was the most generous of people. وَكَانَ أَشْجَعَ النَّاسِ. He was from amongst the bravest of people. The poet so beautifully says it, that وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي. That more beautiful than you my eye has not seen. وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. And no woman has given birth to anyone that is more beautiful than you. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. That you have been created as if you are free from any flaws. And you have been created in such a way as if you had wished to be created in this way. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all aspects, whether it was physically, his physical appearance, whether it was his akhlaq, his character, whether it was his dealings, whether it was his piety, his trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all respects, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most beautiful. And we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he was an example for us. A very comprehensive example. Whether you are a tradesman, you will find an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are a father, you find an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are a husband, you find an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are an army general, a commander of an army, you find an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are the head of a state, if you are the president or the prime minister, you find an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are a victim of oppression, you find an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are a victim of circumstance, trials, difficulty, whether it be the loss of a loved one, whether it be poverty, whether it be physical harm, you will find an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the poet explains, that the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of Al-Mustafa alayhi salam, can be explained as follows: light, light, and more light. And from this darkness that we just discussed, we can understand what light Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to humanity at that time. Now it is a great favor, respected elders and brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you and I from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter what we do, no matter how much we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot show enough gratitude for being selected as part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a great favor from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when a person has a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that favor comes with a right and a responsibility. And that right that is associated with that favor needs to be fulfilled. And what is the right that this favor has? It is that we understand and that we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We acquaint ourselves with the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why do we do this? Is it simply for information purposes? No, respected friends and elders. We study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that we can bring that light into our lives. So that we can bring the practices, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives. We spoke about Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, rahimahullah. And we will conclude with some advices that he gave on this topic of extracting lessons from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he delivered this lecture aptly to Muslims living in the West, in the United States in 1983. And in the very same year, he delivered a similar lecture with similar points to the Muslims living in the United Kingdom. What did Hazrat mention? He mentioned that it is not an accident or a coincidence that you have been placed in a land full of non-Muslims. Now, whilst this lecture was delivered in the United States and the United Kingdom, you and I will all agree that it is as appropriate to you and I in this land today as well. So he says that I do not believe in coincidences and accidents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you to live in this particular land inhabited by so many non-Muslims. And in an environment of mental, economic and spiritual unrest. And just look around the world today. How much of mental unrest? How much of Be'chaini is there throughout the world? Despite all of our advancements in technology and the comforts of life, east to west, north to south, you will find humanity at large, they are not at peace. So he mentions that you have the solution to take humanity out of darkness and into light. Western culture, science and technology has failed to fulfill the objective of bringing peace and satisfaction to the world. And then Hazrat mentions an example from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that if you look at the first 13 years of Nubuwa in Makkatul Mukarrama, a handful of people, very few people accepted Islam. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to Madinatul Munawwara, in the first 7 years, again, very few people accepted Islam. But from the 7th year after Hijrah to the 10th year after Hijrah, approximately 3 years, around the advent of Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, Hazrat mentions that thousands of people entered into the fold of Islam during this period. Many, many more than the previous 20 years of the Nubuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why was this the case? So Imam Zuhri rahimahullah and some of the muhaddithin explain that the reason was that in the last 3 years, the non-Muslims had the opportunity of interacting with the Muslims on a day-to-day basis. They saw the trustworthiness, the honesty, the good character, the akhlaq, the tawakkul and the trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Muslims, and this attracted them to Islam. So Hazrat mentions that in the same way, you and I have a responsibility. That we should have the best of conduct, the best of character, taking it and drawing it from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When people see us, they should be attracted to Islam. When people interact with us, they should accept Islam without us having to invite them towards it. So my respected friends and elders, when we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the one hand, we can study the individual aspects, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked like, what was his day like, what was his clothing like? What were his preferences? How did he carry himself? How did he conduct himself? And of course, we should be studying this. This will bring the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives. But when we take a step back and we look at it from a macro perspective, studying the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should also look at it with this lens, that the mission of Nubuwa was to bring humanity out of darkness and into light. And just like in the 6th century, when humanity was at one of its lowest ebbs in terms of darkness, in all aspects, if we look around us today, you will find that the world is steeped in so many different avenues of darkness. With the exception of the Muslim community, if you look around the world, hardly will you find a community that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. The concept of God has been taken out of every aspect of life. The separation of church and state as we know it has resulted in a global society wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hardly features. Go and speak to the average person around the world and ask them about their relationship with God or with Allah. And you will be surprised to find that the majority of them do not even identify with one Allah or any superpower at all. If you look at the poverty around the world, if you look at the atrocities, the warfare, and all the different types of suffering that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going through. And yet at the same time, we are steeped in a life of merriment, enjoyment, from one pursuit to the next, from one holiday to the next, from one luxury vehicle to the next, from one entertainment to the next. How different are we to the darkness that was there at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came? So my respected friends and elders, we have this seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we discussed when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, the geographic situation at that time, looking at the Byzantine, the Persian, the Indian, the Buddhists, all of the different empires around, and we found that the entire world was steeped in darkness. And the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that it brought people from that darkness and into light. So in the same way, when we adopt the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam today in its entirety, then we have the opportunity to bring humanity from darkness and into light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal and put into practice. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.